step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
All right, if you've got any kids in the room, you may want to cover their eyes, because I'm going to show you what Donald Trump was greeted with when he touched down in Ireland for his glorified golf trip. On screen now, you see a video of Netanyahu and Donald Trump just dancing. It looks like they're just dancing up there in the air. You can tell the kids that they're just dancing. Then behind them, if you zoom in a little bit, you actually see Epstein in green and Donald Trump doing the same exact action in midair. Ireland is not effing around, and honestly, good. Trump has disrespected every single ally the United States has, while somehow moving closer to our enemies like Russia and North Korea, and he thinks he can just visit allied countries that are in Europe and not get any sort of backlash whatsoever. There was also a woman who had a backyard makeover. This says F Trump in full white text on her green backyard. Kind of amazing. Trump will go from the capital, which is Dublin, to Shannon Airport in County Clare, then travel on Marine One to Trump International Golf Links in Doonbeg. This is all a glorified golf trip that he is pretending is a diplomatic trip or mission. When Trump did get the chance to speak, it was an effing incoherent disaster. I mean, no wonder the citizens of Ireland did not want him there. This is the type of shit he was saying. Quote, "They say you can't generalize groups of people, but you can," said Donald Trump in his raspy, almost like dead voice. Take a listen to this right here.
"Out over 5,000 hard criminals in Washington, D.C. We got them out. And in getting them out, and we weren't nice about it either. We got them out. And there's a statistic that I think is great because it's so doable. 2% of the people create 91% of the crime. Think of that. That's so doable. Because if I said 60% or 50 or 30 or 20, it's 2% create most of, you could almost say almost all of the crime. So when you get rid of the 2%, and we got rid of them, all of a sudden you have very little crime. So Washington has become a beautiful, safe city."
All right, first of all, why is our president over in Ireland airing grievances about DC and crime rates there? Second of all, Donald Trump did not make DC beautiful. DC was beautiful before he got into office, and then he tore up the reflecting pool and has completely effed that up, tore up part of the White House and hasn't built the ballroom yet. His helipad has been re-torn up and then rebuilt multiple times, and then even the UFC dome that he built in front of the White House was ugly. He has not made DC more beautiful, he's made it more ugly, but either way, the speech then gets more and more bizarre as Donald Trump calls out Democrats like J.B. Pritzker and starts talking about crime rates even further, and then has to explain to the crowd that there's blue states and red states, because he's speaking to a crowd of people who are not even like American voters or citizens. These are people who live in Ireland, it's probably press, it's probably their politicians, and Trump is sitting there ranting and raving about J.B. Pritzker. Take a listen.
We did it with Memphis also, and if a guy like, you know, he's a lousy governor, he's terrible, but if a guy like a Pritzker would ask us from Illinois to help him with Chicago, we would have no crime. You'd have very little crime in Chicago or Los Angeles or New York. They're run by Democrats. They're run by, and they're called blue states. They're run by Democrats. the Republican states, the red states are very, very safe. So anyway,
you know, that's not true. Red states have the highest per capita murder rates across the country. That is just the fact. You can look at Tennessee. You can look at Missouri. You can look at Louisiana. They have very high murder rates there. And like, I live in Chicago. I work in Chicago. The idea that you need to surge the National Guard into Chicago to start like getting into gunfights with gangs or something, what's the idea here? Chicago is a rather beautiful city. And yes, there's crime that exists in every city, especially in Chicago. There is crime. I would never downplay that. But just surging the National Guard and starting a war with criminals in Chicago would make all of us less safe. If you want to turn us into North Korea, where there's just a constant, perpetual occupation of troops on the ground so that nobody even wants to go outside anymore, I mean, that's one authoritarian way to go about it that nobody would really like. I think people appreciate having some level of freedom while also pushing for policies that decrease crime, right? You don't have to fucking flood the National Guard. Trump is giving a deranged, lunatic speech in front of the people of Ireland, and then Republicans wonder why this is the greeting that he gets. Something about this imagery I just love. I know it's a little bit graphic, but Netanyahu basically bending Trump over is not too far from what's happening. Oh, I just noticed this sign right here. It says, "Everyone hates you." And it looks like that's a middle finger, maybe. It could be a middle finger, or it could be something else. I don't know. But Netanyahu doing this to Trump, it's not that far from what's actually happening. Trump was walking into his meeting with the Irish PM. And first of all, why is he standing like that? Genuinely, he's standing like his knees are caved in. This is like my elderly dog after we got her surgery. She was kind of standing there a little bit wobbly, and I remember her legs were wobbling, and we were like, oh no, sit down, girls, okay. I mean, my dog was so cute and so wobbly. This is the President of the United States. This is an elderly man who is standing there like somebody who is drugged up and about to collapse at the knees. His body proportions look insane. It's so top heavy in the sense that his legs are just struggling there. And then you see his oversized suit. Okay, either way, beyond how he looks, let's move on from that. Let's listen to what he's asked in this clip. It's hard to hear, but they say, "Are you concerned with Saudi Arabia and the movement in the Strait?" And Trump says, "It's all going to work out fine." Oof, that's not very reassuring. Trump's been saying it's going to work out fine for the past 200 days, and now we're 200 days into this war. The reason why this question is being asked is because Iran took some massive wins over the past 24 to 48 hours, and Trump doesn't know how to cope with it. So first of all, this is the reason why I said this imagery makes sense of Netanyahu and Trump. Netanyahu convinced Trump to go into this war. Trump did it on his own accord with his own agency. Trump decided to go to war with Iran. This war has now lasted 200 days. The Strait of Hormuz is closed. We've lost soldiers. We've lost money. We have no way out. And just yesterday, like in the middle of the night, basically, Iran's main proxy, the Houthis, another militant group, they just secured another strait. It's called the Bab el-Mandeb Straits, and Saudi Arabia relies on it a lot. So all Saudi Arabia had left was one single pipeline, the East-West pipeline. Then an Iranian proxy struck that as well. So they have essentially taken one of the U.S. allies in this war, Saudi Arabia, and Iran and their proxies have cut them off, have stopped the oil flow. It's going to spike gas prices. It's going to hurt Trump even more. And it's all because Trump can't get out of this war and Netanyahu keeps pulling us back into it. Right when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. That's basically what's happening to Trump. He's trying to concede. Trump is trying to walk away and take the massive L, and Netanyahu keeps re-sparking the war. Here's an example. We had a 60-day memorandum of understanding. It was a really shitty deal that Trump signed. And one of the parameters said Israel has to withdraw from southern Lebanon. Well, guess what? Israel did not withdraw from southern Lebanon, and the war kept on going. The war continued to spiral. And Trump had no meaningful way to get out of the war or to assert himself beyond just like throwing punches at our allies, making fun of Canada, trying to create chaos on the global stage. This is why our allies, I still think Ireland's our ally, they're more than excited to humiliate Trump back when they get the chance and say, "Everybody hates you." That's what they say. Trump is, number one, a rapist, and a pedo. Okay, I couldn't read that. Trump is a pedo, rapist, racist. Man, they really hate him over in Ireland. That is, it's really a sight to see. I mean, if you want proof that Trump is being fucked by Netanyahu, I don't even mean that literally anymore. Like, I don't mean it in this sense right here that he's getting fucked by Netanyahu. I mean, he is getting fucked over by Netanyahu every single day. Just take a look at this clip of Trump not even being able to acknowledge the genocide in Gaza. So Netanyahu is roped up in this war. So we're now in this endless war that is Trump and Netanyahu's fault. Trump won't concede that we're losing this war, and Trump won't concede that Israel is committing war crimes. Netanyahu has Trump wrapped around his finger. Take a listen.
What do you say to some people in Ireland who say the U.S. is facilitating genocide in Gaza and also facilitating Israel around the illegal occupation of territories in the West Bank?
But when you say Gaza, you know, we put out the fire and we got all the hostages back. There's very little happening right now in Gaza. That's not the place that people are talking about, actually, now. It's all about Gaza. We got involved and we facilitated a piece of a kind. But we got all the hostages back.
The President of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't even a coherent answer. He says, Gaza's not the subject anymore, but we actually created peace there. We put out the fires and we got the hostages back. A way to not address the question whatsoever. The question was, people say there's a genocide going on. Like, how do you respond to that? Rather than being firm against Israel or standing up for human rights, Trump would never do that. He just says he put out the fire. Dude, Israel is still bombing and starving and genociding Gazans, and Israel is still grabbing land in the West Bank, like annexing territory. But Trump is too focused on cozying up to North Korea and Russia and Israel to care about any human rights abuses across the globe. Here's yet another clip of Trump with the Irish PM.
But we are, if you look at Gaza, there's a lot of good relationships taking place right now in Gaza. It's been quite amazing.
There's a lot of good relationships taking place in Gaza. Trump may be referring to the fact that he is kind of the de facto owner of the Gaza Strip right now. There was a deal signed 9 or 10 months back that made Trump the owner of the Gaza Strip, like he's the one that runs it. It's very odd. It's very weird. I don't think they're actually following this, but Trump is basically focused on turning this into a real estate deal. He wants to make this look like a huge real estate deal, and it's pretty despicable. Trump then went on for a few minutes about military equipment. It's actually one of the only parts of his speech that wasn't just incoherent bullshit. Like, I'm assuming for this part, he was reading off of some script because he was just in a boring manner breaking down the military and how our equipment works. But then, when we jump back to his meeting with the Irish PM, near the end, Trump begins to promote his own golf course that he's going to very, very soon after this meeting.
And it's been a tremendous success. It's rated one of the greatest courses in the world, and I'm very honored to have it. I built it. It's about 22 years right on the ocean. So it's very exciting, and I'll be going there later. But we're doing business. We've had some discussions on trade and various other things. We have a big relationship with Ireland.
Are we serious here? Did the President of the United States just fake a meeting with the Irish PM because he really wanted to go to his golf course? I don't mean fake the meeting, like the meeting actually happened, but I'm pretty sure Trump just used it as an excuse, rather, to go visit his golf course that he keeps on gloating about and keeps talking about. And it's honestly despicable. He is using his platform as the president to advertise and, you know, push ads for his golf course in Ireland. Nobody even wanted him there in the first place. For example, the cops threatened not to show up for his visit altogether. Listen to this. Police officers in Ireland are threatening to refuse to report for work when Donald Trump visits the country, according to a local report. Trump is set to arrive in Ireland on Saturday for a two-day trip, during which he will meet the Irish president, the PM, and then visit his golf course, where the Irish Open is being held. However, some officers assigned to work at Trump's Doonbeg golf course during the president's visit have warned that they may not show up, citing multiple disagreements with their bosses. This includes being made to pay for their own accommodation and childcare at short notice. Other rank-and-file members, the Irish police force, say their work arrangements have been changed at the last minute. Wait, just think about this. So, police officers will have to pay for their own stay in their own childcare by like the thousands of them while going to take care of the president. the president who was demeaned and made fun of Ireland, all so that the money can go into the president's golf course? So the money is going to the president's golf course, and they have to pay it out of pocket. What kind of large scam is this? No wonder police officers don't want to show up, and no wonder he got such a cold welcome. This article reads, Trump gets brutal welcome before he's even arrived on his golf trip. The president, 80, will land in Dublin for a brief encounter with the politicians before he hightails it over on his golf trip. On the flight path to Shannon Airport, one family has left the president a reminder that not everyone is happy that he is in Ireland. The massive sign dwarfs the woman's home and stretches across her whole yard. The woman convinced her husband, Paul, to help her welcome Trump. Quote, I've been troubling him for a long time to do this because we knew Trump was going to be coming. So they put out this sign, and it's likely Trump will see this on the way. I'm going to leave it there. I've got a big debate later today that I'm going to start prepping for, so wish me luck. I love each and every single one of you. Tomorrow, I'm going to be starting my two-month New York experience where we're doing more debates, more hits, more of it all. So subscribe below. Let me know if you're excited, and love you all. Peace out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.